Shabbat Shalom. This morning, I'd like to basically continue where Rabbi Glenn left off and maybe reiterate some of the same points. But today, I'd like to talk to you about something you may have heard before. Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Now, I won't sing it for you because that's cruel and unusual punishment coming from me. But joy to the world is a hymn I've heard sung too many times to count, and I bet you have as well. Like many songs associated with Christmas, it tends to go in one ear and out another, and after about a month of it, you're like, enough already, we're done with this, etc. But in many ways, I think joy to the world and hearing over and over again is like the birth of Yeshua. We've heard it so many times that even if you're not a believer, you could probably tell us most of the story. But when was the last time you stopped to really consider the birth of the Messiah? The last time that you sang about your joy. It is very easy to go into autopilot and take these basic things for granted. This morning, Lord willing, I want us to spend a few minutes on the true joy that is found in Messiah Yeshua, how he is the source of our joy, how we can have joy even in the middle of darkness and suffering, and that being joyful is something expected of us from God. The birth of Messiah Yeshua, the Son of God, is the most significant event in human history. And I'll say it again, the birth of Messiah Yeshua, the Son of God, is the most significant event in human history. The only day that could be argued as more important is the day he died. But it is his birth that we use to divide human history in Western civilization and now globally as well. The abbreviation BC stands for before Christ when translated English, before the birth of the Messiah, and AD for after he has been born. While it's now more politically correct to use the term common era, it still represents the birth of the Messiah. It's just political window dressing. All of human history, every accomplishment, the rise and fall of empires, inventions like paper and electricity, your birth and your death are all plotted based on whether they occur before or after the birth of the Son of God. Why is time divided by Yeshua's birth? Because it is the moment that the Lord's plan for saving humanity began to be fulfilled. In Yeshua's birth, we see fulfilled the words of Psalm 98, which joy to the world is based on. That the Lord has made salvation known to everyone. That through his love and faithfulness to Israel, the promised anointed king, the Messiah, has finally come. The humble and simple physical birth of Yeshua was a spiritual explosion, like a giant meteor smashing into the earth. Except his birth brings light and growth, not darkness and destruction. I'm reminded of Isaiah 9:1, one of numerous prophecies concerning Yeshua, which declares, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Yeshua is the light of the world, an eternal flame that can never be extinguished. He is the truest source of light in a world covered in darkness and deep darkness that covers us all. Isaiah declares that we will rejoice with this light, that the Lord has brought happiness to the world, and it makes us sing and shout for joy, that all of creation sings and shouts for joy. So it's fitting that when an angel appears to the shepherds right after the birth of Yeshua, the angel tells them to rejoice because the Messiah has been born. The arrival of the Messiah as a source of joy is found throughout the prophecies about him. Zechariah 9:9 loudly proclaims, "Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." Born in a manger to a poor working family, Messiah Yeshua comes to us simply and humbly. By his appearance, he is not a social influencer. he probably wouldn't have had that many followers on Instagram. He was not born a model, and he had a Galilean accent, which was looked down upon as unsophisticated, like having a hick accent. It's the truth. But it was through someone we did not regard that the Lord chose to save us from our sins, through his sinless sacrifice. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords shed his blood so that through his death we would have eternal life, the Spirit of God, and a real personal relationship with him restored. He is the source of our joy because his strength is available to us right now. In this very moment, we, regardless of our circumstances, to quote the late and great S.M. Lockridge on what Yeshua provides, he supplies strength for the weak, he's available for the tempted and the tried, he sympathizes and he saves, he strengthens and sustains, he guards and he guides, he heals the sick, he cleanses lepers, he forgives sinners, he discharges debtors, he delivers captives, he defends the feeble, he blesses the young, he serves the unfortunate, he regards the aged, he rewards the diligent, and he beautifies the meek. I could go on, but if you're a follower of Yeshua, I would ask you to remember all the ways the Lord has blessed you since you've put your faith in him, and all the testimonies that you've heard from others. And if you're not yet a follower of Messiah Yeshua, there are many here today who could testify about all the things you are hearing. So Messiah Yeshua is the source of our joy. But it can be hard to have joy in the world we live in. We live in a world covered in deep spiritual darkness. A world that is full of suffering. I can testify to that this week. We suffer for various reasons, sometimes from our own choices or from the choices of others. Many of us struggle with loneliness, depression, suicide, sickness, and all sorts of other issues. Most people in this world are also looking for joy, looking for happiness, and unable to find it in any lasting way. We try stuff, social media, drugs, sex, money, and so many other things to fill that aching void in our lives and our hearts. The destructive lie of our culture is that these things will give us lasting joy, but it's never true. To give one example, there is no lasting joy to be found on Facebook or Instagram. In fact, so many new studies are showing the more time you spend on them, the worse off you feel. You get more depressed the more time you spend on these things. Even in our synagogues and churches, there is suffering. It was true in the days of the apostles. I like to joke, you know, so many of the letters written from the apostles are dealing with issues in communities. And you almost feel like Paul and these guys are like pulling their hair out as they write these things. I'm always reminded of Jude, who's like, I wanted to write you this beautiful letter about our shared faith, but I heard what was going on, so I had to scrap that letter and write you this instead. I love that. I mean, it's sad, but it's really funny, but it's also really good. And so it was true in the days of the apostles, and it's still true today. Human beings are the same. Try as we might, we hurt others, are hurt from others, and witness these things happening to other people. There are people today who have walked away from God's community because of the hurt and betrayals they have suffered in it, and they're legitimate ones. If our happiness and joy is rooted in our circumstances, though, it will never last. It will be extinguished under the weight of the suffering and persecution in this world. And Messiah Yeshua promised us that we will be persecuted for following him. It's the rule, not the exception. Just as he was persecuted, and the prophets like Isaiah before him. For us to have happiness beyond our circumstances, it must be rooted in God and the joy that he provides through the Holy Spirit. To do this, how do you have it happen? We must draw close to God through prayer and his word. You know, it seems very simple to say, and you've probably heard it a million times, but it's true. You know, there isn't some, you know, secret plan that we've uncovered under a rock that we could put in a book to replace these things. We've heard it before, but it's true, and it's something we need to understand. We have to make time for him in our lives and make time for his community wherever he has planted us. And you can come up with schemes and ideas and things to do this, but at the end of the day, either you make the choice or you don't. It's just that simple. We are designed to be with other believers, though, to encourage one another with joy. And we also need to honestly reflect about where we spend our time, our talents, and treasures. What place does God really have in our lives? Is he the source of joy, or is something else? Messiah Yeshua taught us that as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. It is through following God's plan for our lives that our joy will be complete. We look to the example of our Messiah, and through the power of God's Spirit, are transformed more and more like him every day. Godly joy, though, doesn't usually instantly happen. It is something that we must be deliberate about as a discipline, like prayer and reading God's word. To grow in joy, we need to make time for it. This can be done alone or even with other people. In fact, this is a discipline where others can help us grow. We can seek out those around us who seem to just have authentic spiritual joy and ask them to help us as well. The Lord really does comfort us in the middle of tragedy, strengthens us when we feel we can't go on any further, and gives us peace in the middle of total chaos. God's word also teaches us that being joyful in the Lord isn't just a nice idea or a good suggestion. To have joy, to experience real happiness, is a command of the Lord. As Rabbi Paul writes in Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. To be always happy is not something we can do on our own. It requires God. In fact, our strength in this life is found in the joy of the Lord, as Nehemiah says. If we do not have any joy in our lives, maybe because of circumstances, we need to ask the Lord to give us strength through his joy. This was a need for King David in his life. We are in good company when we pray like he did in Psalm 51. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The Lord wants us to pray for joy, to restore us, and to sustain us. He is reaching out to us even now and wants us to return to him and regain our first love. We also need to remember that this command to have joy is not just individualistic. The basic assumption in God's word about being a follower of Messiah Yeshua is that we are doing it with other people around us. We are meant to be in community, encouraging one another, and not neglecting to do so like some do. And no community is going to be perfect. You know, there are some weeks, though, where the last thing I want to do is be with other people, where it is a struggle to get out of bed and get to Shema, not just because I was up at 3:00 in the morning last night. But when I'm suffering, when I get depressed, I'd always want to be around other people, especially happy people. It's like that old Rolling Stones song, I want to see everything painted black. I won't sing that one for you either. In those times, I have to turn to God for the strength just to get out of bed, to soften my heart, and interact with my family here at Shema. You know, sometimes I don't want to sing a song to the Lord, let alone a new song, especially when I don't know the words. But I do as the Lord has commanded, even if I'm not always feeling it, even if I'm, you know, hurting, even if I'm suffering. What I usually find, though, is by the end of services, I'm in a better mood than when I started. I've been encouraged by someone, had a moment of laughter, and just feel better than I would have staying at home. It doesn't make every problem go away. It doesn't make this place perfect or people perfect. But, you know, it makes things more manageable. It gives you some joy. So we need to be with others, introverts or extroverts we are, to genuinely ask people how they are doing. You know, that's something when you see someone how you're doing, you know, there's two types of asking that, right? You ask someone how they're doing, and you want them just to say okay, so we can go through the niceties, and you can keep on walking. And then, God forbid, they stop and actually tell you how they're doing, because now you're going to have to interact with them. But we need to be genuine when we ask these sorts of questions. How they're doing. To ask people how we can pray and encourage them. To share how they can pray and encourage us. To be in relationship with one another. You know, sometimes I'm asked, what is the point of congregations if I'm not getting anything out of it? You know, I've heard Jerry preach this before, or Rabbi Glenn preach this, or Rabbi Lauren preach that. I've been here at Shema for 15 years. I don't get anything out of it. I hear this sometimes. I have to gently remind people, including myself, that being in God's community isn't just about us. Sometimes we're not here to receive, but to give. It may be our faithfulness is an encouragement to somebody else, or that the minute we take to talk to someone is what God uses to stop them from taking their own life. And that happens. We need to be focused not just on the joy we are receiving, but the joy we are sharing as well. I started my message this morning with a Christmas carol, Joy to the World. God really has brought joy to the world through his Son, who reigns right now at the right hand of God the Father. One day soon, he will return to us and judge the world in righteousness. In that day, we will experience fully what we have only had partially. We will be filled completely with an inexpressible and glorious joy, as the Apostle Peter writes. Until our joy is complete, we will suffer. But through the Lord's strength, we will not only endure, but encourage others. May the Lord, the only real source of joy in this world, give us the strength of his joy. May each one of us experience that joy despite the sufferings and persecutions we are dealing with right now. May he enable each of us to sing with joy along with all of creation at the wonder of his love for us, and share that love with a lost and dying world. Thank you.